welcome, reflect on the goodness in our lives, hold a posture of gratitude and generosity, and then surround ourselves with people we love and give gifts to others to show how much we care. Now, gift giving on the surface can be a kind and simple gesture. It shows you care for someone, you appreciate what they mean in your life, but there are some people who are expert gift givers, where the gift goes beyond thoughtfulness and it leaves the person receiving it forever impacted, changed because of what they've received. Growing up, my parents always worked really hard to make Christmas something special for my family. They saved money and they planned for weeks and weeks on what they wanted to get me and my brothers. And I'll never forget one year opening our Christmas presents on Christmas Eve, because we were those people. My parents handed me and my two brothers each a big box. The boxes were heavy, they were all the same size, and they were wrapped beautifully. And then on the count of three, we tore through the paper to reveal that we had each been given a TV for our own bedrooms. Now, this was like 25 years ago, so this is like a 15-inch box TV that weighs 30 pounds in the front, nothing in the back, and when you plug it in, all you have are basic channels unless you're connecting to cable through the cord. But my brothers and I, we were so excited. We no longer had to fight over whose show was going to get watched, which was probably the real gift to my parents now that I'm a parent. But what I didn't expect was that this gift, this extravagant gift of entertainment, would actually meet a much deeper need that I had. So after having my TV set up in my room, I actually didn't get locked into endless hours of mindless television. I found that having the noise of shows on, laugh tracks in the background, it brought me a sense of peace and comfort, which enabled me to be alone in my room, something that I had always struggled with as a kid, and it provided me the opportunity to get lost in play and creativity. I would spend hours in my room with a hot glue gun and any craft supplies I could get my hands on. I was building, creating, and dreaming. This gift, it allowed me to step into a fuller, more vibrant version of myself. At Christmas, we celebrate the greatest gift we've ever been offered, one that goes beyond kind gestures and thoughtfulness. It's a gift that meets our deepest needs, offering meaning, purpose, hope, and life from a king whose kingdom wealth is also ours, if we're willing to receive it and use it. This gift is Jesus, and it's the gift for us all. Here's what we read in Luke 2, 1 through 12. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths, placed him in a manger because there was no room, guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see the things that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So what does the gift of Jesus truly bring us? Our passage starts out by outlining towns and family lineages because Jesus' birth had been predicted by prophets over 700 years earlier. This explanation points out the fulfillment of a prophecy. Not that just any old baby would be born, but as the angel said, a savior, a messiah, a redeemer, a king. The prophet Isaiah announced it like this. He said, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. So just like in the movie Frozen, Queen Elsa of Arendelle rules her kingdom with power to bring peace. And in Lord of the Rings, King Theoden of Rohan leads his kingdom with courage and virtue. On Christmas, King Jesus of the kingdom of heaven shows up in our world with unmatched power and a new way of life for us all, where the measurement of being blessed offers a favored state for those who are in the kingdom of God. See, the way of this kingdom offers us eternal hope through reconnection with God, where we're no longer spiritually bankrupt because we can have a relationship with God. In this kingdom comes healing and comfort through a king that promises to never leave our side, offering an assurance that there's more to life than the circumstances in front of us today. And this kingdom, it's been established by a king who willingly offers his own resources of strength and power to those who are weary and powerless. It's a kingdom that's ruled and reigned by a king with perfect love and grace, driven by justice and peace to meet the deepest of human needs. It's a kingdom marked by mercy and forgiveness. And all of this is given to us through the gift of Jesus. And on that first Christmas night, in all of his power and glory, this gift came wrapped to us in humanity. The most powerful king placed in the weak and needy body of a baby. The wealthiest kingdom given to the poorest of people, so that the lowliest of our world could have access to the truest of riches, the riches of the kingdom of heaven. Yet in order to receive this gift, it requires accepting it. How do we receive the gift of the king and his kingdom? So just like any gift that's offered to us, we have to come to a place of wanting to accept it. When my parents placed those beautifully wrapped boxes in front of my brothers and I, we had to open it, see what was inside, and then make the decision to receive it. In pride, I could have told my parents that I wasn't deserving of such a great gift, or ask them to bring it back to the store to use the money for something that's more practical, maybe out of fear of being indebted to them or feeling like I had to give something back of equal value. But to truly receive a gift, it requires humility and an openness of heart. In the Christmas story, Mary was visited by an angel and told that she would be the mother of Jesus, becoming pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit. She humbly accepted, saying, "May this be as you have said." And Joseph was told in a dream that the baby Mary was carrying was the Son of God sent to save the people from their sin, and that he was supposed to keep Mary as his wife and raise Jesus as his own son. Joseph accepted the impossible with an openness of heart, trusting God's will. The only way that Mary and Joseph would have had front row seats to the greatest story to have ever happened in this world was by accepting it with a posture of humility and openness of heart. See, humility is having a modest view of one's importance. And openness of heart is a willingness to receive God's love, guidance, and presence in every aspect of life. It's recognizing our true human condition and being willing to receive help. In Matthew 5, Jesus was teaching who the gift of the kingdom was for. He explains it's for those who recognize a need for God, for those who are sad about and hurt by the conditions of our world. It's for people who operate in loving kindness, those who forgive, those who live lives of integrity and sincerity. His gift is for the people that our world hates. The complete opposite of blessed by the world's standards is considered blessed in the kingdom of heaven. Nikki Gumbel, the creator of Alpha, explains the Beatitudes from Matthew 5 like this. According to Jesus, true happiness doesn't come from all the things that society suggests. It doesn't come from celebrity, beauty, wealth, and possessions. It's not about how you feel. It's not about what you have or even what you do. The Greek word blessed means to be the privileged recipient of God's favor. And the only way we receive the favor of God is by recognizing our broken human condition, our need for it, humbly accepting the gift and receiving it with an openness of heart. What might be preventing us from fully accepting the gift of Jesus, the King, and all of his kingdom wealth? Maybe it's feelings of unworthiness, shame from the past, or a current situation that's been brought on by sin. It could be emotional barriers, past trauma or hardship, making you doubt the goodness of God in your life, or where accepting the gift of Jesus leaves you feeling vulnerable or afraid of reawakening old wounds. It could be fear of obligation to give something back, or even pride by the way of self-sufficiency. And if that is the place that you find yourself, blessed are you by kingdom standards. Yours is the kingdom. The favor of God is yours if you accept it. All throughout our Advent series, we've been talking about the Beatitudes from Matthew 5. And after each Sunday message, we've had a take-home prompt with a reflection and a response. And so next, we're going to do just that. We're going to take a little time to reflect and respond. Our worship team is going to come back up, and during the instrumental portion of the song, you'll have some time to reflect on what might be holding you back from fully receiving the gift of Jesus. And then, just as the shepherds left the manger rejoicing, we'll move into a time of worship with an expression of gratitude through giving. Every Christmas Eve here at the Vineyard, We take an offering and we give the whole thing away in support of a local nonprofit and our global missions partnership. All of your donations today will go to help support First Witness, a local nonprofit that supports families who've experienced child abuse in their home. And then Ali and Pervin are missionaries from Turkey. And we're going to help them very practically with some building costs so that their community can continue to be the light of God to others in their city. So we'll begin our time now with this reflection question, followed by taking the offering.
Child is born, he shall reign forevermore. No way, no way.
I have a friend who has this beautiful birthday tradition where anytime we gather as a group to celebrate the birthday of a loved one, we take time to go around one by one and tell our birthday friends what it is that we love about them, what they mean to us, and how their friendship has impacted our lives. It's always a teary-eyed reminder of what really matters in our lives, often highlighting how this friendship has changed us to be better people. Now, if we were to throw Jesus a birthday party tomorrow, and we invited all kinds of people from the Bible who were impacted by him, what do you think they would say? I think Mary and Martha would want to go first. They'd be so excited, and they'd say, "Jesus, when our brother died, we were desperately heartbroken. We were afraid of what it would mean for our futures, all while grieving the loss of one of the most important people in our lives. And when that happened, you showed up. You sat with us in our grief. You cried with us. You held us in our pain. But then you showed us that you held power over death, and you brought our brother back to life. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And then the woman who was caught in adultery, she would chime in next and say, "Yeah, you saved my life. I was going to be killed. But you fought for me when no one else would. You stood up for me when I didn't deserve it, and you showed me that I still had value, even with my mistakes. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." And then some of the disciples would speak up, and they'd say, "I'm still in shock from when you fed those 5,000 people with almost nothing to work with. And I'll never forget how you challenged us. You wanted us to do it. And you cared so much about the basic needs of people, people that you didn't even fully really know. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." And then another disciple would say, "What about that time where we were in that crazy storm and we were all going to die? Everyone was screaming. It was absolute chaos. And with one word, Jesus, you brought peace to one of the scariest moments of our lives. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." And then another disciple would chime in and say, "What about that night? That night that you knew you were going to suffer and die. And instead of being worried about yourself, you went around the room and you washed our feet just so that we'd have something to look back on and know without a shadow of a doubt that you loved us. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." This is the gift of the King and his kingdom. And seeing it and receiving the gift of Jesus, that's not the end. It's the beginning. It's the beginning of a transformed life. In the story that I shared earlier from my childhood, the gift that met a deeper need, it only changed me because I used it. Simply opening the gift and acknowledging it wasn't enough. I had to make it a part of my life to experience its full benefits. As we use the gift given to us on Christmas, that's where we find the kingdom benefits in our ordinary lives. But very practically, how do we use the gift? As we begin to step into an understanding of God's love for us, his unchanging, never-ending, always fighting for our best, sending Jesus kind of love, it allows us to experience the same things that the people in the Bible experienced when they saw Jesus face to face, drawing us into a relationship with him and a desire to know him more experiencing his way of life in ours, leading us to live differently. See, as we allow the grace and forgiveness of God to meet us in our own messy lives, we then have a greater ability to extend a dose of grace and forgiveness to others. As we spend time reading the Bible to understand who God is and pray and hear the Holy Spirit speak to us, it develops our understanding of God's will for the world. It helps us to align our values with kingdom values as we engage with our work and our relationships and our community. As we find hope through the restorative plan that God has for all of us, where death is no more, we will be encouraged in our own grief and pain with the ability to offer it to others, to be merciful as he is merciful, to fight for others best, just as Jesus does for us, to usher in peace and comfort to a hurting world as we receive it from God. As we live out these kingdom values, we experience the gift of Jesus, not just for ourselves, but also as we bless others. This is where the kingdom of God intersects with our regular, everyday lives. It's a faith journey leading us towards transformation and truly bringing us to life. This gift of Jesus given at Christmas is not about us being called blessed because of the state of our condition, but instead blessed by the radical availability of the kingdom of God, that anyone is welcomed in and therefore called blessed to receive the favor of God. John 1, 12 through 14 says, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." This verse is telling us that through Jesus, we get to have a new story, a new life, a fresh start. We get to become a part of a family with a new outlook on life. And who is this offered to? Everyone. A hopeful, purposeful way of living where we are spiritually reborn. And when you say yes to receiving the gift of Jesus, you use it by developing an interactive relationship with him. And you do this by becoming a part of a loving community with other members of the family of God, attending church on Sundays or joining a small group during the week. You foster this relationship by being baptized, publicly showing others this new life that you have, and taking a step in obedience with Jesus as the king of your life. And then over time, you continue to develop a loving, intimate relationship through various ways as you build on the foundation from the first time you accepted Jesus. This is the greatest gift we open on Christmas, receiving King Jesus into our lives and using his kingdom wealth to not only meet our deepest needs, but to change us and the world. I'm going to invite you to stand with me as we begin something that we call ministry time. Every time we get together in one of our services, we like to take a moment to just reflect, prayerfully reflect on what God has been speaking to us during the service. And so however you feel comfortable, if you want to sit, you can stand. If you want to hold your hands out, close your eyes, whatever makes you comfortable, I'm just going to begin to pray for us. Jesus, we thank you that we get to celebrate your birthday, that you are a gift to us. And maybe today, for the first time, you want to accept the gift of Jesus into your life. And so if that's you today, I'm just going to encourage you to pray this prayer with me. You can pray it in your heart. You can pray it out loud, whatever feels right for you. But King Jesus, come into my life. Be the Lord of my life. It's through you, your death and resurrection, I can have a new life. And today, I say yes to that. I accept the gift. Amen. I believe there's others of us here that we've maybe accepted the gift at one point, but maybe we've set it aside. We've decided it doesn't really work for us. Maybe it worked at one point, but it doesn't feel like it does anymore. And so if that's you today, I specifically would love to pray over you. You're welcome to hold your hands out. I just want to pray a blessing. If you want to start fresh with Jesus, you know you've maybe done it once, but you want to redo that today. Start fresh today. You can hold out your hands. I'm going to just pray over you. Holy Spirit, some of us have accepted the gift. We've opened it, we've accepted it, and it was a while ago, and we've forgotten the kingdom. We've forgotten our wealth. We've forgotten our inheritance. And so, Holy Spirit, would you help us to remember what it means to be a child of God, what it means to be in the family of God, that you've never left us, even if we set down our faith. You stayed with us side by side the entire time. And so today, Jesus, some of us want to go back on with you, back on track with you. And so would you meet us? I pray, Holy Spirit, you would give us supernatural insight into how to begin to use the gift of you and your kingdom in our lives for those of us that want to re-engage today. And then lastly, I believe that there are some of us here today that we have accepted Jesus and it has been an active part of our life. But we want more. We want more of the kingdom. We want to see more of the kingdom wealth coming through us. And so if that is you today, I'm going to pray over you. Holy Spirit, would you come? I bless the faithfulness of those for those of us that have continued to follow you. And maybe we're feeling that weariness as we've been singing, the weariness of following you. Following you is so hard sometimes, Jesus. And so I pray for a redeposit this Christmas of the kingdom coming in our lives. That we would feel the favor of God, that we would see the favor of God as kingdom people, as citizens of heaven. That you would show us what to do next and how to pour the kingdom out in our own lives. Amen. I'm going to invite our prayer ministry team to come forward. And this is, again, something we do every single Sunday that we're together. We want to engage with God. There's more to it than just sitting and listening. And so we have a trained team that wants to pray with you and for you with whatever's going on in your life. But I want to do one thing. I want to challenge you. Now, something happens when you've given your life to Jesus. Something happens. The enemy sneaks in, and he tries to kind of make you think it didn't count. Or it wasn't good enough, or this time wasn't the right time, you were just kind of feeling lunch. I'm gonna encourage you, if you made that decision today, do something for yourself and for your faith. Go and grab one of these packets as a visual reminder of your stake in the ground with Jesus today. And then you can come and get prayer with anyone on our team. And they can also walk you through the packet if that is what you're ready to do. Merry Christmas. Thanks for being with us today.